Welcome to Chesterfield Chat. My guest today is Stephen Poxon, author of a book titled Ernie, which is all about Ernie Moss, a very extinguished footballer who played for Chesterfield Football Club. Welcome to Spire Radio, Stephen. Now, as I understand it, 10% of the book's revenue will go to the Jeff Astle Foundation, and a further contribution will be made to the Ernie Moss Memorial Campaign. But firstly, can I ask you, where did the idea come from to write a book which is a tribute to Ernie Moss from fellow professionals, family and supporters?
Thank you. That's a good question. My best man, I'll be married 30 years next year. My best man, when we were students together, he was always banging on about Ernie Moss. He's from Clown. Born and bred in Clown, my best man, I mean. And every time we played football together, every opportunity he had, he would mention Ernie Moss. Ernie. To be perfectly honest, please forgive me, I hadn't heard of Ernie Moss until then. This is years and years ago. So I decided to investigate a little bit more, talk to my friend about it, and soon found out the legend that was Ernie Moss, and indeed still is Ernie Moss. So it's all thanks to my best man all those years ago, his enthusiasm.
Well, you better mention his name in full.
Thank you. He's Mark Rose, lifelong Chesterfield fan, Mark Rose, and still a friend and a great Ernie fan, an ambassador for Chesterfield Football Club, no less.
Fantastic. And from one season ticket holder to another, well done him. Right, well, what sort of response did you get from the contributors to the book, such as family, friends and fellow professional footballers of Ernie's?
Well, to be honest with you, I was completely overwhelmed. I still am, actually. Not only with the magnitude of response, the quantity, but the quality as well. Loads and loads of people, once I put it out on Facebook, recruited Ernie's daughters, Sarah and Nikki, spoke to Chesterfield Football Club. The response was overwhelming. Very, very generous comments. People queuing up to say lovely things about Ernie, the footballer and the man, his family especially, of course, friends who knew Ernie. Fans who saw him play and supported Chesterfield and other clubs, indeed, not only Chesterfield, and former players and managers queuing up to offer their words of tribute and memory to Ernie, which was quite heartwarming for me and made the job of writing this book, Ernie, so much easier. It's an absolute pleasure to take their words on board.
Right, that is very interesting because in footballing world, Ernie Moss was reputed to be one of the real good players of the game. Amazing players of the game. And Chesterfield Football Club were very fortunate to have him as a player. But what, going back to your book, what struck me most about the contributions were the reoccurring theme. How was the format decided on?
Well, originally, you see, Dave, I wanted to write a biography, encouraged by coming to know a bit about Ernie, making contact with his family, and I can't credit them highly enough, the support they've given. I want that to be acknowledged. Originally, this was to be a biography. I thought, I'll have a go at writing a biography. And then the format changed because of the material I was receiving. It became more and more obvious that Ernie, the footballer, Ernie, the local hero, belonged to the fans. He really did. That came through time and time again. What a local hero he was, a local boy made good. And it struck me that this idea of a biography was mine. But it would be better for the fans, for the club, for the town, Chesterfield and other places, for me to gift this to the fans, because Ernie belonged to the fans. Increasingly, I felt he doesn't belong to me. This isn't my project. This needs to be given back to the local fans, the local area, and his family. So I switched the format to a mix of tributes and memories and stories and all these things that are in the book, as a gift, as it were. Of course, it's a commercial venture for me and for the publishers. I'm not going to pretend otherwise, but this is actually giving something back to the people who loved Ernie most of all.
You mentioned that he was a local hero, and indeed he was. In your book, it came out very, very, very strong that he was also a gentleman. How much did writing the book inform you about Ernie Moss, the footballer, and Ernie Moss, the family man and gentleman?
Well, I would start with Roy McFarlane's foreword. Roy has been brilliant, very, very helpful and generous in his time and contribution. Roy McFarlane spoke in his foreword that in an era, a footballing era, where it was a hard game for people like Ernie, centre forwards and centre halves, it was a brutal game. There's a lot of the dark arts, as we might call them. It was commonplace. And yet Ernie, Roy McFarlane said, never retaliated, took it all in his stride, was just there to score goals and to work for the fans. That came through very strongly. What a natural gentleman he was, albeit taking a lot of stick and a lot of aggression in his role as a forward. But it also came across that Ernie was always willing to keep that contact with his roots. He never lost touch with his roots as a local boy. In terms of going to schools and churches and fetes and opening things and awarding prizes, charity dues, and et cetera, never too big for his boots. Always willing to respond to such requests upon his time. Always willing to have a lovely chat with fans and customers who came to his sports shop at Moss and Miller. And this recurrent theme that he never regarded himself as a superstar or any better than anyone else. He just knew how privileged he was to play football for a living. But he never set himself apart from the fans. He knew who paid his wages. He knew how hard they worked to pay those wages by their ticket money at the turnstile and so on. And that was always prevalent in the book. He wanted that contact. He saw himself as one of those people who just happened to play football for a living. There was no kind of status issue with Ernie, and that came through time and time again.
Right. Well, what sort of impact are you hoping for the book will have? In other words, what are your aspirations for the book?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's a commercial venture. Let's not pretend otherwise for me and the publishers. So we need it to sell. We need it to sell for every good reason, not least to raise some money for the Jeff Astle Foundation and for the Ernie Moss Memorial. So there's a business side to it as well, but much more than that. You see, horribly, tragically, Ernie died while this book was being put together, and no one saw that coming. So that means, although we offer our sympathies to his family and loved ones, I think it's just 2 years ago, Ernie left us suddenly. That means this has now become a memorial keepsake, a tribute to a fallen hero, as you like, as I mean, because he's died. There's a poignancy that is now present about these tributes that wasn't the original plan. So I want this to become a memorial tribute. So someone will come along to the club shop and buy it and give it to their dad or their granddad or their mum and say, "You saw Ernie play. You've always talked about Ernie over the years, a centre forward, a local hero, all those things, a gentleman. Have this book and it will keep Ernie's memory alive on your bookshelf, in your bookcase, turn to it every so often for a couple of minutes or half an hour, and it will rekindle all those lovely footballing memories, games these people were at, the fans were at. So in answer to your question, I want to keep alive the memory of a working class hero, a Northern football hero, in an era when football has gone into a different direction altogether, the Premiership, the money, the multi-million pound deals. This is a lovely tribute to someone who played football for the love of the game, the love of the fans, and it's worth keeping that flame alive for Ernie and players like him.
Right. I mean, you've basically summed him up very well there. Is there any more you can tell the listeners of Spire Radio? What was unique about Ernie Moss? Just one thing that was unique. Yeah.
What was unique? Everybody, and I mean this literally, everybody who contacted me, whether it be Neil Warnock, Roy McFarlane, Joe Bloggs on the terraces, everybody spoke well of Ernie. Now, you and I know, Dave, in professional football, that is not always the case. With the best will in the world, there is always a negative attached to some stories. I can say hand on heart, what's unique about this book is every tribute is positive and caring and grateful for Ernie Moss from professionals and fans alike. And that was outstanding, the nature of the tributes, all positive and all deeply sad that he's left us.
Indeed. And it is very sad. Will we ever see the likes of an Ernie Moss again in the professional game? Or indeed, are there any players that already exist out there?
That's a great question. You see, I'll be honest, this is time for confession. I'm not actually a Chesterfield fan, and I'm asking your listeners to forgive me for that. I'm not even from Derbyshire, which probably makes it even worse as a confession. But the point I'm making is I support Hartlepool United. I'm not here to talk about Hartlepool, but I'm answering your question. And at Hartlepool United, the whole squad is put together on a shoestring. The club is up for sale as we speak. There are not millions of pounds floating around anywhere. So the whole squad is put together on a shoestring, loan players, non-league players, etc., etc., recruiting on a budget. And those players are grafting week in and week out, not household names. With great respect to them, I love those guys. It's probably much the same at Chesterfield. They're not going to be household names. They're probably not going to play for their country. But there are hundreds of such players playing for the love of the game, closely connected with the fans, often living locally. And those players are now heroes, in my estimation, because they will have to go and find other work once they've retired. They can't, you know, they can't sit back on their big bank accounts. So they need that local contact. And I'm hugely impressed. No great rewards, turning out in all weathers. Playing at Hartlepool in December is no joke. No great accolades, not even headlines. Unknown footballing heroes. And that's the heart of this book.
I know, Stephen, you haven't got a crystal ball. But would Ernie Moss have made it in the old First Division, what is now known as the Premier League?
I'm reminded of one of the stories in the book, actually. I'm afraid I can't remember who sent it in, forgive me. But they were talking in their tribute, this person who wrote in the book, you need to buy the book to read the story, about Ted McDougall and Phil Boyer, I think it was, who played together at Bournemouth. And then I think if memory serves correct, they also played together at Norwich City for a while. And the point was being made in this particular tribute, referring to McDougall and Boyer, wouldn't it have been lovely if some top flight club, First Division as was, had taken a gamble on Ernie Moss, as they did on Boyer and McDougall, to great effect, picking them up from lower league Bournemouth, I think it was, when Bournemouth were not Premiership by any means. In answer to your question, yes, I think it would have worked, simply because I'm not a footballing expert. I'm a fan like everybody else. I don't claim any inside knowledge at all. But I do know a decent centre forward when I see one. Someone who can work hard, someone who knows where the goal is, someone who will give everything every game, even when it's going wrong, even on a bad day, as Ernie always did, 100%. Those qualities, an eye for goal, a total commitment, and a natural flair for scoring goals, I think they would count anywhere. So maybe, if I'm being perfectly candid, not one of the top teams as we knew them, but in my boyhood, let's say, Birmingham City were first division, that sort of mid-table first division. I, hand on heart, yeah, Ernie could have done it, maybe 15, 16 goals a season.
I want to go quickly back to your book. How have Ernie Moss's family received the book?
Well, we've never met yet. We are planning to meet at some point. I'm up in Chesterfield soon to hopefully meet some. Sarah and Nikki, Ernie's daughters, patently idolised their dad, and other members of the family. I've had nothing but superb cooperation. Even when Ernie died and this project became painful for them, because they were coping with grief and indeed still are, I want to acknowledge that. Even then, their help was always available. Sarah in particular played a blinder, Facebook messages, speaking to people, contacting people on my behalf. And I've always tried hard to be sensitive to the fact that this is their dad, this is their husband, this is their granddad, as well as Ernie Moss. And I want to be careful about that. I'm intruding into their personal home domestic relationships. But I can't speak highly enough of them. And very, very grateful for all the help they've given, and looking forward to meeting them at some point.
Brilliant. Finally, Stephen, are there any more books in the pipeline?
Well, I've just submitted a proposal to the publishers, Pitch Publishing, who've also been marvellous. I've just submitted a proposal to them, a similar book about Hartlepool United's local heroes. I've submitted the title, Always a Poolie. That's what we call poolies. I've also been in touch with a club in Armagh in Northern Ireland, Mindwell FC, who are doing a wonderful project, Mindwell Football Club in Northern Ireland. They play for the benefit of men aged 30 plus who have experienced mental health problems, depression, loneliness, etc. The point of Mindwell FC is that they offer a football club, a community, support, friendship, and so on in terms of a football team. So all things being equal, speaking to them last week, Mindwell FC, I'm going over to Armagh in Northern Ireland soon to see if I can write up their story, their footballing project. And in a funny kind of way, it's all linked in, football as human beings, the sport, the love of the game, what it offers to us. So all things being equal, a book about poolies and Mindwell FC in Northern Ireland. That's ongoing.
Isn't Jeff Stelling a poolie?
Yeah, Jeff Stelling. I think I'm right in saying he's life president of Hartlepool United. I might be mistaken. They might have packed it all in. I don't know. But Jeff is a big advocate for Hartlepool, always sneaks the words Hartlepool and United in whenever he can. And he's put the club on the map in many ways, as far as you can with a club like Hartlepool.
Stephen Poxon, thank you so much for coming in to speak to us on Spire Radio. which broadcasts in the heart of Chesterfield, of course. And good luck with your book, Ernie.
Thank you.
I have to say, it is a book for every Chesterfield fan. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.